Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio, a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. It is a real pleasure to have you back with us here on the show, or if this is the first time you're joining us, we welcome you to the Close Up Radio experience. Jim Masters here. It's 1 p.m. Eastern on April 7th, 2022, and this is part two of an exclusive conversation that we have with architecture and construction management expert witness Fred Lodden. It's my pleasure to welcome him back to the show. Close Up Radio is spotlighting this very diversified architecture and construction management expert witness, where he comes to us today with this broad depth of experience in some 28 different fields of litigation experience. On this episode today, Fred will address the impact of things like artificial intelligence, virtual intelligence, and reliable intelligence, and how he sees these information formats impacting expert witness consultancy and testimony. And just a quick reminder to everybody joining today's broadcast, Fred is an expert witness specializing in preparing counsel for both trial and deposition on issues related to architecture and construction management. And with this broad depth of experience leading cross-discipline teams of design and engineering professionals and construction management teams, Fred has offered expert testimony throughout his career as an architect and construction executive for some 30 years. Fred's uniqueness as an expert witness really comes from his ability to see things that are often not readily identifiable by the plaintiff or the defendant. To succeed as an expert witness, the expert witness, of course, must provide unbiased opinion as a measure of protection. And the successful expert witness needs to be capable of multiple perspectives, have this in-depth knowledge like Fred does, bordering on being an academic, you know, staying within the bounds of ethical restrictions and able to assemble and deliver an understandable story, always giving a professional opinion and leaving the legal opinions to the lawyers and the courts. We'll talk more about the ways that you can connect with Fred, but first, it is my pleasure to welcome him back to Close Up Radio for this in-depth 30-minute conversation and part two of our exclusive series together. Fred, welcome back to Close Up Radio. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you joining us once again for part two of the series.
Thanks, Jim, for having me here. I'm privileged to be here with you today. I want to get into the meat of this conversation and what is affecting all of us every day. All of us depend on experts every day. Many of us will need an expert sometime in our lives to help provide a defense or a protection or justification for how we have acted or reason the thinking behind our actions. And consequently, it's pretty important to understand the role of an expert witness. I encourage you not to follow fads or cliches or cliques. And I think it's important that understanding that, go back to the initial broadcast about storytelling and how the parts are put together. But then we have to look at what we're inundated with every day right now. We're inundated every day from many, many directions about how we need to incorporate artificial intelligence, virtual intelligence, reliable intelligence in our everyday movements and actions, and are now being pushed to incorporate the same and understanding in advance what the actions of particular courts, judges, and lawyers will be, but actually works against common sense on the most advanced levels. So I want to talk about that, and we're not only influenced by the different types of artificial intelligence, virtual intelligence, and reliable intelligence, but influencers. And the influencers are dogging our every movement, and I encourage all of you you realize that this is fungible data that the influencers put out. And if we're lucky, last for a nanosecond, maybe even a zeptosecond. So let's talk a little bit about it and how we incorporate that in what a stalwart or a sustaining expert witness can do and how it works for the expert to consider it. Let's talk about virtual intelligence for a moment. Virtual intelligence mimics human mental and physical mechanics. It can consequently incorporate error because of the predetermined factors that are inserted. And then the word virtual. Virtual means it doesn't exist. It's subject to what people input. Go further and talk about artificial intelligence. Again, that slants toward the machines that are made by men and women that replicate the human process. It's all very, very subjective. And again, it's a flash in time. So the experts that you're talking with, are they really relying on what they need to rely on? Are they self-proclaimed experts, or do they understand what it is that's incorporated? More to the point, information circulated at today's gospel is subject to individual whims and individuals inputting data and information in each of their predetermined factors. Keep in mind that when you consider it's your time or you need an expert witness, this expert witness needs to be able to have perception, presence, persuasion, honesty. That's got to be the basic fiber of the expert and the ability to assemble the story and the art of telling that story. We're told how it is, not why it is. Just saying it doesn't make it so, and most always not supported by credible evidence. If you don't have the credible evidence, then how important is this data? So let's talk about that a little bit more, because some of the cases I've been involved with, they want to present empirical formulas or approaches of manipulating numbers. Courtroom is not about sensationalism. It's not the drama that we see on TV. Data doesn't convince anybody without a convincing and understandable presentation. Complete stories, they're not told by a digital pathway, but data can be used to impart specifics for a matter of positioning. Keep in mind, while we're talking and while the questions might go back and forth in your mind, an expert witness only provides a professional opinion, not legal opinions. The lawyers do that, and they take that information and make it work to the best of their abilities to protect their clients in the particular case. Keep in mind, all the saturation about the data and technology is a current craze. And unfortunately, that saturation is kind of like a high school fad. It serves a basic, certain fundamental basic, but is subject to man-made input, man-made data, man-made mechanics, and it's really not what carries the story. So those are the things that I think are important. And what is happening now, there are several companies that are presenting all kinds of information that can incredibly sway the weakest of expert witnesses. We've got data that's being generated to tell how judges act, how courts act, what to expect out of those particular lawyers, judges, or the courts. They know how they've acted previously. The problem is, I'm going to go back to the first broadcast that we did back in February 24th with Doug Llewellyn. And there's a word that you're going to hear me use quite a bit when we talk, each and every time. The word is physiology. It's the ability to position and posture the parts to tell the most appropriate story, and understanding the physiology of each unique case, the components of the case acting in unison or in conflict and changing with the time of people, opinions of the court, the judges, the lawyers, and the laws as well. The physiology is subject to the expert of the day. each and every one of these people can have a good day or a bad day. So all this data that says a judge is going to act a certain way, or the court will rule a certain way, or the lawyers for the other side will rule a certain way, each of those people may do it differently as they progress through their profession, as the laws adjust to a changing society. So I encourage all of you, whether you're owners, expert witnesses, trying to do your best job, don't take the gamble. Don't play poker with data. All the work of an expert witness is very high stake, and the gains or the losses can be just horrendous beyond comprehension. I would ask that each of you look at the data that you want to use to support, and each time you look at a company or a database that's being presented, that you understand the basis of where that information is coming from. So I encourage you, again, to go back to where we were in February 24th. It's the art of assembling the parts. It's the art of having multiple perspectives of what has been presented and then putting it together in a context that can be understood, and presented with conviction. Again, I'm going to use the word storytelling. That doesn't mean make-believe, but it's how you convey it to the other lawyers, the judge, anybody that's in the jury, and to the clients, because this can be so specific in nature that no one understands what you're saying. So there are a lot of sayings about how you present information, keeping it simple, but you still have to be specific in the data that you're presenting. And then you're going to go back to the five basic stalwart points of the expert witness or witnesses that you choose to be on your team. First of all, you have to be able to bring the attributes of the virtual and the artificial world does not bring. You have to bring perception, presence, persuasion, and the story as it's assembled to act in the best interest of the individuals that have so much at stake. So even when I'm working with a great host like Jim, and he's listening as I present, there are questions that are going to pop up that we're going to address individually. But these are the specific issues to address up front. Not a specific piece of data, not a specific piece of virtual information, but specifics on the approach. And if the approach is not proper up front, the expert has not done the job. And as I presented previously, the expert will be an embattled figure by the time the courts are done, or even if you're only in deposition. Positions can destroy the case or make the case, and the experts need to be qualified, quantified, and sincere in what they're doing. So you have to bring passion, depth of thought, depth of perception, and lack of fear. If you fear the judge, you fear the court, or you fear the jury, you cannot properly represent the parties involved. Jim, are there any questions that you wanted to bring to me today?
No, you have this incredible breadth and scope of experience, Fred, that is extraordinary. Maybe we can expand upon for the audience briefly about the many areas of the related expertise that you have represented. How do you feel, Fred, that that really ties in so beautifully to your professional practice as a registered architect and as an experienced construction executive? I mean, you've been brought into these arenas of criminal activities as well. I mean, how does all of this play off each other, the related expertise that you have?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, because that's going to get into the fever or the passion that I have for what I'm doing. Unfortunately, in the world of construction, engineering, and architecture, there are many avenues for the not-so-straight arrows that want to participate in these arenas. And then there are people that are infected with the ever hunt for the big dollar rewards. So unfortunately, that opens a lot of doors going in a lot of different directions. And being trained in contract law language for the building industry, that helps me to see some other opportunities that may be brought up by counsel to properly position their clients. So, yes, I've been involved with construction defects, standard of care, but I've also been involved with breach of contracts, and then unjust enrichment, treachery and self-dealing, fraudulent claims, misappropriation of funds, unfair business practices, bid steering. You may think, well, how does that get into it? Well, talking to construction, depending on the information that's given, the scope of work, the materials that are allowed, the bids may be fixed. And you have to be able to see that if that's happening. It's quality of materials, where the materials are coming from, quality assurance, performance. Looking at this from the construction perspective as a construction manager in many big projects, you have to be able to see if there is a faulty building system, what generated it. And often related situations, it results in personal injury. Well, I don't pretend to be a personal injury expert at all, but I can see what might have caused it easily because of the number of cases. And let's talk about those cases relative to where I've been. I participated in several arenas, including civil engineering, structural engineering, architectural design, forensic inspections, evaluations of what's going on cost-wise, scheduling, impacts of scheduling. You have to understand who's manipulating what and for what purpose. Work considerably with the Americans with Disabilities Act. So the people that are challenged mentally or physically that need defense or representation as to how they may have been impacted or treated unfairly comes into play. And then you have to look at payments. There are a lot of people in a lot of industries doing a lot of work that can't get paid. So you look at claims for failure to tender payments that are due and owed for contract work that was performed. Well, just because you didn't get the work doesn't mean you get paid for it. If it's negligent or inadequate, no, you don't get paid. And then one of the biggest things, unfortunately, that shows up in the construction industry is fraudulent change orders. They have to be supported. Just because you are telling somebody that they owe you money doesn't mean they owe you money. You have to be able to support it. You get a bill in the mail. Is that bill for services rendered, materials rendered? Then you have to be able to look at other things which are strong component parts of the building architectural industry. Look at the professionals that are involved as an architect. I don't think a majority of any of the professionals involved make a misstep on purpose. But every once in a while, the best of the best slips, gets lazy, or forgets to look over their shoulder at people doing work for them. And then you have to look at it. From another perspective, there are certain things in the industry from a design standpoint or manufacturing standpoint, and we call that trade secrets. And who has access to them and who can use them to represent themselves, we have those things to deal with as well. We have labor union disputes. We have public officials that have been bribed or swayed. There are just so many related areas that when you say you're an architect or a construction manager expert that cross-correlate that come to light. So some of these areas that I mentioned are part of the many areas that I have participated providing expert consultancy, testimony, which is something else. As an expert witness, I want to bring up that I think is important. Before bringing out the reams and reams of data, reference material, academia, look at what the basis is for what's going on, for what you're going to present, and maybe, just maybe, you can avoid a long, drawn-out legal process by sitting down and mediating or possibly arbitrating if you go through another step. Reasonable expectations put on the table will get through an end phase of whatever the consternation is that's being presented by the other party. If you can't approach it reasonably and it's an all-out war from the front, it's going to be a long, protracted situation. So again, the expert witness is more or less a component of what the lawyers bring to the table to close. They rely on that information, and you have to keep in mind, although the lawyers try to be up to speed on whatever the subject matter is, they depend on whoever it is they call on, and it's easy for them to see which of those experts don't know what they're talking about or are playing games. Just recently went through one case where a so-called expert witness on the other side presented a lot of accolades and claims, which I immediately researched and found none of them to be true. And that expert witness was easily dismissed from the entire process of not contributing anything worthy and probably compromised the ability of that particular expert to testify in the future. So, again, I'm going to say be ready to be targeted, be ready to present to clients, be ready to help them understand what level of exposure they might have and where this would go relative to legal representation as the experts in the legal field want to position the case and take it to a close. So again, relying on data, whether it's draft data, promulgated data, laws, codes, you have to understand when they come into place and if they're actually applicable. So there's a lot of interest and passion in protecting those that need to be protected with the best information and the best story that I can put together to support the lawyers.
You know, storytelling is a big part of this as well, and personal presence. They're important aspects of your work. Tell us about that. How do these two areas affect your work, the storytelling and the personal presence?
Okay, that's fairly easy, actually. Presence is extremely important. Presence can be egotistic presence that destroys your presentation, or it can be a presence that is easy for members of the jury, the other lawyers, the judge, and the court to understand. And that presence is something you gain with a little bit of psychology knowledge so that you understand facial and body movements. You may have looked at these people many times and gotten certain reactions, and on a different day get something totally different. So you'd have to be flexible as you're going through this so that you can address the specifics of the day or the moment. And I referred to a nanosecond or a zeptosecond. The fads, the influencers, those are not what's going to carry through time in the courts, the history of the courts, and what sets a precedent for the courts to follow. So you have to be flexible, again, with that word I use, physiology, of the individuals and the atmosphere of the day. The individuals can be affected by what happened before they ever got to the meeting or to the courtroom. They can be affected by changing events in their life. And that would apply to everybody that's in the courtroom at any time. So you have to get down to the basics of the data that you're going to present, the basics of the content you're going to present, and the academia or the underlying documents to support what you're going to present. So it is an art of being able to introduce the characters, an art of being able to introduce the information that supports your position, and speaking with conviction, without hesitation, and prepared to defend the party that needs to be defended.
That's so important. It really, really is. I want to make sure that we also talk about a word that I know you mention often, physiology. Tell us how that word applies to artificial intelligence, virtual intelligence, and reliable intelligence as well, Fred.
Well, you know, we all go back to intelligence data being input by a person. And the physiology of that person, which is how that person reacts to variables within their body, variables that affect their everyday response, even the simplest food they eat, could very well affect the information that they put together and put into a program. In Condor, I was made aware of one the other day where a program was put together that automatically excluded women from any participating part of what was going on in that program. And the person that put the program together didn't even realize what they had done by a simple implication in the program itself. The physiology is my physiology, your physiology, everybody's physiology changes with time, with temperature, with environment, with actions that have happened before you got there, irritations that are generated by nonsense conversation with colleagues and employees that are working with you, because human tendency is to follow the crowd, follow the group. This is not about what lipstick color is popular for the day or will be popular for the next 2 weeks. This is about the beauty of what we're positioning that will withstand the test of time. So when we look at virtual intelligence, artificial intelligence, we have to get down to what we call reliable intelligence, not the nonsense, which is the passing fad. And that can be lots of things. They all fit into place. The algorithms fit in. There's all kinds of things that fit in, but they are not the driving factor. But that is what we are told every day. It's almost like deciding which news media you're going to watch for the day. You have to look beyond it, behind it, underneath it, and around it, so that you understand what the true story is.
I want to let the audience know as well, current expert witness consultancy and testimony includes active legal matters in New York, Connecticut, California, Georgia, Florida. You also offer services throughout the United States and even in some foreign countries as well. And if folks want to learn more and make contact, your available profile is at SEEK, and I'll spell that out, S-E-A-K, experts.com. That's SEEK, spelled S-E-A-K, and then the word experts.com. He's in the SEEK Expert Witness Directory. And also, he's got a LinkedIn profile that you can check out, linkedin.com/IN/Fred, F-R-E-D, and then hyphen or dash Lott, that's L-O-T-T, and then /. Or you can simply contact Fred by telephone at 917-371-5149, 917-371-5149. Fred, I can't believe the half hour has zipped by in the New York Minute. Always a pleasure. Thanks for really breaking this out in layman's terms and making it so relatable and user-friendly for all of us to digest, because, you know, it's in-depth material, but you have a knack for explaining in a way that really connects with people, and I applaud you for that. You've been doing this for years. You're an expert doing that, and hopefully we'll get a chance to explore some more down the line. Thanks so much for joining us on Close Up Radio and being our guest. I really appreciate it.
Jim, it was great to be here. I look forward to joining the listeners as well as you and Doug Llewellyn in the near future.
Absolutely. We'll be waiting here just for you, Fred, and I appreciate it. Architecture and Construction Management Expert Witness Fred Lott. This is part two of our two-part series. He'll be back for more, so you can stay tuned for that as well. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, inviting you to stay right there. I'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. For all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.